Say, Father.
Father.
I have eyes that see.
I have
ears that hear.
And
my heart is perceiving. You're about. To download. Something into me. Amen. I'm going to be sharing from Paul Keith Davis's book on Thrones of the Soul, and I'm pressed last night, loud and clear, page 41. And this morning when I rehearsed it again, I heard back it up to page 40 and go forward. So we're looking for the redemption and the cooperation of the Holy Spirit, who qualifies us for union with our Father. Try that one on for size. I'm looking for the redemption.
I'm looking for the redemption.
And the cooperation of the Holy Spirit.
And the cooperation of the Holy
Spirit. Who's
about
to qualify me
for
union with my Father.
For union with my Father.
Just like it was for him.
Just like it was for him.
So I'm going to give you a little more. When Israel was delivered from bondage of Egypt, the Lord was their source. They did not have to pick up their axes or their knives or their arrows. Who delivered them? Yeah. Faithfully providing for every need. He accompanied them with a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. My God, when's the last time that you and I depended on a cloud and a pillar of fire? We depend on TV to entertain us. We depend on the newspaper for news. Both of them based probably about 97% coming from hell itself and the prince of the power of the air. Notice when Israel was released from their bondage, their source was him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our highest purpose is to return to the place of fellowship, an empowering presence once lost through sin, but now available through his redemption. Our role is to recognize this mandate and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, who qualifies us for union. Holy Spirit's job is to counsel and comfort and qualify you and me into the fullness of Christ. If a person truly desires to be prepared for the 21st century and utilized by the Holy Spirit to meet the needs of this generation, he should be doing all the Lord would require in order to be clothed with Christ. Put on the anointing. Having a righteousness that comes from God through faith. We must consider the loss of all things for the sake of gaining Christ, the anointing. And we should consider the loss of mere rubbish as, we should consider the loss as mere rubbish compared to the surpassing value of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. See Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9. That's Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Our treasure must be stored in heaven where there neither moth nor rust can destroy, nor thieves can break in and steal it. Romans 8, verses 6 through 8. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. For it is not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not able to do so. Did you hear that? And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Our high calling can be discovered through emptying ourselves of our own inclinations and opinions, and through the washing of his anointed word and relying upon the faithful leading of the Holy Spirit. It is through the stripping process. That's what you described, Gail. It is through the stripping process and assuming the heart of a servant that truly spiritual authority is recognized in heaven. A bondservant is one who yields his will to the will of his master. That was Abraham. Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. I circled in appearance as a man. That's the Son. That's Jesus. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We're not usually comfortable dying to what we perceive should be a godly day because it didn't go the way we expected. I should have heard an amen, but you guys are all sleeping. A counterfeit message. There is a religious spirit roving to and fro, seeking forum to impart legalism, opinions, debates, judgment, criticism, inherently appealing to the needs of the flesh. The religious spirit will produce death and hostility towards God, while the Holy Spirit generates life. So where's your problem? When your religious forces are bringing about condemnation, legalism, opinions, debates, all kinds of pressure tactics, you're in trouble. Because the Holy Spirit is not there. He's the only one that's going to produce life. The benefits of the kingdom of heaven are his glory, loving kindness, mercy, righteousness, and peace produced through the Spirit of truth, which is, again, Holy Spirit. If we are going to be fruitful, we must be faithful to the Spirit of truth. It should be the heart's cry of God, of all of God's people, to see the glory abiding in the land, meaning us. Psalms 26, verse 3. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. The Spirit of truth exposes the deception and the counterfeit message introduced through the religious spirit. It is only by this spiritual impartation that true discernment is generated. The Lord Jesus foretold that a false spirit would be released that would characterize the times of the end, so much like the genuine article that it would deceive the very elect if possible. Matthew 24:24. For false Christs, or false anointed people, and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, when you realize that this is happening now, and you listen to your religious programs on television and on the internet, you can tell which ones are which. And some, when you're watching it, you're going to have a nudge. Shut it down. How many know what I'm talking about? Why? Because it's producing death. Only by the indwelling presence of the Spirit of Truth can we discern the distinction. A careful examination of church history clearly identifies the power of this deception and its intent to steal our inheritance. It will produce a form of godliness that denies the power of God. Because you see, it teaches you that you've got the power to change yourself. When accomplished, great conflict results between two camps. We are confronted with making difficult choices. The high road will require submission in every arena of our being and a willingness to bear the reproach that will come when wholly consecrated to Him. As soon as you give your life to Jesus, you're going to have war games. As soon as you declare Jesus is my Lord, you're in for a real bout from hell. Because they can't stand you because of who you belong to. If we embrace the correct commission, we will catapult to greater measures of loving kindness and righteousness and experience heightened expressions of His glory. Instead of religious debate, which destroys faith and results in an independent spirit, we will become dependent totally upon the Lord as a yielded vessel washed in the truth of His word, rather than living by the judgmental spirit of criticism. We will sow mercy at every opportunity in order to receive mercy. See James chapter 2, verse 13. James chapter 2, verse 13. When we allow grace for the failure of others, we will also reap grace for our own shortcomings. Instead of criticism, we look at others through the new wine of grace, unmerited favor. The Lord turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana, embarking on a ministry of miracles and preaching of righteousness. So shall the wine reserved for this generation do likewise. The Holy Spirit is releasing a prophetic mandate, announcing His desire for His servants to preach life, expectancy, and preparation for visitations from the Lord, and a rehearsal for the wedding celebration. Instead of strong drink, the Lord is bringing new wine. Instead of preparations for the end of the age that will destroy the earth and everything in it, which is a lie from hell, the Lord is looking for a wedding celebration. The covenant in new wine allows us to look at God and our fellow man with an entirely new perspective. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. The religious spirit desires the yoke of the law, while the Holy Spirit is a life-giving spirit. The Spirit of Truth is also served as a tutor, leading us into life of purity and holiness, guiding us to freedom from the carnal nature and liberty in the anointing. Legalism is the opposite of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness and was preserved in the day of judgment. No humanistic counsel could have prepared him for the events that unfolded. Only divine revelation equipped him for the unprecedented event that ultimately destroyed the world. Many of the events taking place in our generation will be unprecedented circumstances, requiring counsel that will come from behind the veil through the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's what you heard this morning. You heard it from Ann. You heard it from Gail. And you heard it from Darlene. And some of it from me. We must be willing to pay the price to be cleansed and purified, to be joined with Christ or joined with the anointed, and taken to the throne room of God to receive our instructions and begin to comprehend the mysteries of the kingdom. They are mysteries of the kingdom, and their intention is to bring us to life, not death. We were not designed to go into the grave. We were designed to what? Live forever. What else? If you enter the grave, you're going to resurrect. So we're heading for resurrection, and we're heading for life and life in the fullness. Adam and Eve were not created for death. Oh boy, I just hit a brick wall. Did you hear me?
Yep.
Say, Adam and Eve were not created for death.
Adam and Eve were not created for death.
But they chose to bow to the spirit of death.
They chose to bow to the spirit of death.
That was their choice.
That was their choice.
Not mine. Why did Jesus come to the earth? To expose the works of. Come on, fill in the blank. What did he come to the earth for? To expose darkness, to expose the stealer, to expose the author and the killer of all of creation. But we can change it. Come on up. You see, Jesus was sliced open, and that's what I'm doing right now. Slicing open. The one that came and gave us an example that we could come to life. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from here, I will draw all men unto me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, we glorify you, and we give you all the glory that you have begun a work in us. And you won't quit until it is well done. Amen?
Amen?
So, Father, I take this bread and I break it open, just like Jesus told us to do. I lift up the cup and I declare it to be the blood of the Lamb that washes away sin and preserves us from all plagues. Oh, some of you are ready and you're right in there. Some of you are sleeping. You need to wake up. Say, the blood of Jesus, protects me from all plagues. He gave us an example in Egypt. The Egyptians died. The Israelites lived. They put the blood on the doorpost. And no plague could enter that house. No plagues coming into my house.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that includes my household.
Those
that I hold in my heart.
They're protected.
Because of my intercession.
Because of our intercession.
Amen.
And
amen.
Amen.
So I break this bread and I take it for our president, because there's a lot of war games going on against him. But he's receiving wisdom from heaven. And everything that has been prepared for him to do, he will do because of our God and his Holy Spirit working in him in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray. I also take this for Barack Obama and the past presidents. Lord, you know how to switch them over from darkness to light. I can't do it, but you can. And it would be an awesome thing to see these presidents stand for our country for a change. In Jesus' name I pray. I take this for those that have been struggling, and obviously for those that are not feeling well. Linda, her son Michael,